Houston sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, it's time for everybody's favorite game. Who said it? Will we listen to a quote said by ESPN 97.5 personalities? We guess to see who they are, and then we'll listen to see if the Killer Bees were right. B-Mac, who's filling in this week, he's been talking some trash. He's been saying that he's going to be able to stump us, which isn't hard to do, for being completely honest. But B-Mac, what you got? Let's get it started.
To be fair, what I texted you was, there's no way you're getting your first 5-0 on me, is what I said.
Oh, okay.
To be fair.
I just wanted to know if Jeremy wanted to pause the whole process for another week, because after what he did last week, I thought he just wanted to ride.
Did he embarrass you last week?
He didn't embarrass me. He made me proud as a proud papa, because he absolutely knocked it out of the park.
Okay.
Some of us have strengths. My strengths is having a really good long-term memory, but an awful short-term memory.
That's why it's a team.
All right.
Team effort. All right, so first one on the board.
Wait, time out. What's our quota? What do we got to get to? What's our goal?
I always try to hit above 500.
So three.
Three or five, yeah. That's always a success for me.
Don't let B-Mac pick it. He's not there yet. So we'll pick it for ourselves.
You shoot three of five from the floor,
he's
you're a Hall of Famer.
He's talking mess. So let's try to get three.
Setting the bar low. I like it. All right, first one on the board. Once you have a certain amount of money, this is talking about Cal McNair. I should have prefaced it. Once you have a certain amount of money, you can follow your passion. If it's TikTok dances, if it's having a Twitch stream playing Call of Duty or Among Us or whatever. Like, I know he loves doing video games, right? He should get his own Twitch channel. All of that is better than having the city mad at him.
B-Mac, could you pick a longer quote?
I could.
Oh my goodness.
Please, how many times are we going to say, can I hear it one more time?
For all five quotes.
You like the time that you wasted complaining about the length of the question?
Like, I was going to ask you again, like, could you repeat the quote?
Again?
But I feel like if we do, we're going to have to hit the break. Like, my goodness.
Lance?
Can I hear the quote again?
Oh, no.
You just complained about how long it was. Now you want to hear it again.
But I need to hear it again.
All right. Once you have a certain amount of money, you can follow your passion. If it's TikTok dances, if it's him having a Twitch stream playing Call of Duty or Among Us or whatever. Like, I know he loves doing video games, right? He should get his own Twitch channel. All of that is better than having a city mad at him.
Gut said Lance, but then you said Twitch.
I think it's Creighton.
I was going to say, ooh, do you?
Yeah.
See, I was going to say the usual would be either Paulie or BK, because they understand Twitch. John and Lance don't like it and don't want anything to do with it. And they get pissed off at it. So if you really look, it's hard.
You know what's hard here, too, is that B-Mac's like Caton's, and the way, like, his sound of his voice makes this very difficult. Mm. I think he makes this game.
What does
that mean? It just means that your voice and your cadence makes this game more challenging for whatever reason.
I feel like that's a shot that you're not going to tell me about.
No, it's not really.
No, it's not a shot. It's just the way that you speak. I'm not saying you speak poorly. I'm just saying it makes it more challenging. Like, I can't explain it. I can't put my finger on it. You feel like it's either Paulie or Creighton?
I thought it was Paulie or BK, but I could see Creighton, and Creighton is up to speed a little bit more with that, and that would be a wrinkle to where B-Mac thinks that he got us on one, because he thinks probably we're not thinking about Pete Creighton as much. But you've been hot, man. So I'm going to leave this in your capable hands.
You're thinking either. I don't think it's PK. Like, I feel it's got to be a solo guy.
It's either Paulie or it's Pete Creighton.
My hunch is Creighton.
Well, go.
Let's play the hot hand. If I get it wrong, then we'll lean to you. We'll go Creighton.
Once you have a certain amount of money, you can follow your passion. If it's
you think
if
that's
it's,
Kel's passion.
If
the
it's
gut
TikTok
right off the
dances,
top.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
I feel like that quote wasn't nearly as long as what B-Mac read, but whatever. Well, was it not?
We don't have time to hear it,
my
so let's
goodness.
Move on.
Like, I feel like B-Mac's quote was about four longer sentences than that.
I've never heard any more complaints about the length of this quote. Okay, I cut it off so we would have more time
next.
So we could get to the
so
next one.
So you cut off Lance's quote from what you read?
He stopped it after
I
we got it wrong.
It because it would be talking over you. It would be double audio.
I don't know how I like this.
Oh,
all right, number two.
Complaining. All right, next one, much shorter for Jeremy. I was watching wrestling last night. That's how bad the college football game was.
That's probably Stutes.
Or PK. I mean, Pete Crate's a wrestling fan. But he's probably working. So you eliminate him.
Was he on Tuesday, though? I don't know if he was on Tuesday. When does the Buzz Williams show air? Or Aggie basketball? I don't think
Buzz
he would have been on.
Buzz Williams show airs Monday night.
Okay.
Well, but if they're saying that's how bad it was.
I think he was on after the Buzz Williams show. But
yeah,
he would have had it.
Does an hour.
It could have been BK. Because BK wouldn't have otherwise. That's how bad it got.
BK's not watching wrestling.
That's how bad it got.
I think it's Cody. But I don't have the hot hand, so
One miss doesn't mean you don't have the hot hand. Look, I'm going to be the good teammate.
But BK's going to turn on college basketball or something else. BK's not turning it on wrestling.
He tried to watch you guys the other night, and his ESPN Plus was all messed up. He was ticked off.
So that means he's eagerly trying to watch college basketball, okay. And college basketball is not hard to find.
We'll go, Cody.
I hope this is right, because I'll never hear the end of it.
I was watching wrestling last night. That's how bad the college football game was.
I can still play this game. I had both right.
This is a bad showing. This is a bad showing by Brad.
Now we got to run the table, kid.
Karma for complaining about the length of that first quote. You ready for another long one, Jeremy?
B-Max being bitter and petty over there.
He's enjoying it right now.
A little bit. All right, next one, number three. They slandered Jose Altuve and got away with it because they're like not traditional media. It's BS. It's total BS. Like, they can do it. But if other people at ESPN or Fox Sports or something like that, they aren't able to put that report out there. But John Boy puts it out and says, oh, we're just having fun. Bleep off, dude. You still put that out there.
Ooh, I want to say I heard this.
See, I think I figured it out why B-Max questioned, like, the way that he reads it. There's no pausing between the end of a sentence and the beginning of a new sentence. So it's like this one
giant
run-off. From
the guy that complained about the length of the question.
my elements here are just off. You feel like you heard who said this?
And if I heard it, it was probably either the bench or the wheelhouse. Well, it could have been Paulie. Yeah.
That sounds like a Paul quote. Bleep off. Like, I feel like Paul would say that. But although I've been awful today, and being a good manager, I should have zero influence on the answer to this question.
You want it one more time?
Yeah, please.
Sure. They slandered Jose Altuve and got away with it because they're like non-traditional media. It's BS. It's total BS. Like, they can do it, but people at ESPN or Fox Sports, they can't put that report out there. But John Boy puts it out and says, oh, we're just having fun. Bleep off, dude. You still put that out there.
There's no way that's Jake. Paulie. Jake loves John Boy, and he loves the national media banging the Astros. Yeah. I think it's Paul.
That's what I said. I think it's Paulie.
All right, we'll go Paul Gallant.
They slandered Jose Altuve and got away with it because they're like not traditional
Well,
media.
We're on the board.
That was a layup.
All right, congratulations. You got the easiest one on the board.
Shut your mouth.
You ready for the fourth?
Yeah, open your mouth.
Make sure you're on your toes listening to B-Mac read these things.
Oh, you're on your toes, huh? All right, number four. He was talking about the worst concerts he's ever been to, and the first concert he mentioned was a Spin Doctors concert. He said the music was too loud and they didn't play their best songs. And I'm thinking to myself, how many songs do the Spin Doctors have that they didn't play some of their best hits?
Spin Doctors is a very hot topic on the wheelhouse.
Is it really?
Yeah, because I think one of them, I believe that's the group that one of them followed them.
Somebody followed the what?
Yeah, one of them followed them, or the show tweet. You know, they have the show tweets.
Oh, on Twitter.
Yeah, on Twitter.
Huh.
And I think that came up. That's always been like a constant bit that the Spin Doctors are
never heard
fans of theirs. I could be wrong. I think that's right.
Well, I mean, I trust you more than me. Especially today.
You got any gut feeling on this?
If I'm trying to pick between one of the wheelhouse guys...
It doesn't have to be. I mean, you could pick anybody, but
I have no gut feel. I have no feel for that. I'm out of...
Granato is out because I don't think he knows the Spin Doctors.
You don't think Granato knows the Spin Doctors?
I don't.
Really?
Yeah.
I think Granato knows the Spin Doctors.
I don't. God, one more time, B-Mac, please.
Sure. He was talking about the worst concerts he's ever been to. And the first concert he mentioned was the Spin Doctors concert. He said the music was too loud and they didn't play their best songs. And I'm thinking to myself, how many songs do the Spin Doctors have that they didn't play some of their best hits?
Process of elimination. Could you see Creighton saying it? Because I could.
Yeah, but...
Where are you leaning?
I mean, you brought up Wheelhouse. Your first instinct has been good.
I think it's the Wheelhouse.
I think it's got to be either Cody or Jake.
Okay. Well, then
three? Between the two? You don't have a feel for either one of them?
I don't.
Maybe Jake.
All right.
I think that language there is a little bit more Jake than Cody.
Well, then let's go Jake.
All right. Let's go.
He was talking about the worst concert he's ever been to.
See? There you go. Nice job. Now we're at 500.
Yeah, that was a little bit more of the language. That
good teamwork.
Congratulations. The good teamwork.
We talked it through.
You talked it through and got there.
Yep.
All right. So, by the way, though, it's not that they follow each other on Twitter. It's that the Spin Doctors' biggest hit is the open to one of their segments every week.
No, but I think, and we'll find out when we do the handout, I believe that the Spin Doctors followed them or liked
maybe so
one of their show tweets.
All right. Last one. Let's see if you can get to three wins. I'll be honest with you. This is talking about Gwen Stefani, by the way. And I'll be honest with you, Hollaback Girl, it's easy to sit and stare at for a while, for everything that's in that video.
I'm not sure BMAC would use this. Well, BMAC would do that. What? Use the same one more than once.
He could. He likes to be like Brendan Tricky.
Uh-huh, can you say that one more time?
Sure. And I'll be honest with you, Hollaback Girl, it's easy to sit there and stare at for a while, for everything that's in that video.
Okay.
Could be Granado.
Maybe, but I don't see it. I see Creighton before I see Granado.
Oh yeah, that's true.
But I think Pauly could say that Gwen isn't his style because he's so hip and cool, and that
Gwen's more hip than he is.
But I, you know, he's too cool to be liking Gwen Stefani. But then
what?
Oh, Pauly is too hip and cool and now to listen to like pop music.
He listens to grunge music because of his time in Seattle.
Well, he loves everything Seattle. I mean, he's pulling for the Seahawks so hard it's painful. You have no gut on this one?
I think it's Granado or Stutes because of process of elimination.
You think he's not going to double down?
I don't think so.
And you don't think Creighton would say it?
I think he would, but I'm not sure BMAC pulled any Creighton. That's kind of short for Creighton. That's kind of a short quote for Creighton. I don't know. It could be Creighton.
And who's the horn dog enough to say Pat, that regardless of the song, Pat, that he would stare at Gwen Stefani?
Pat. Oh. Pat.
Okay.
Pat.
So are we going Pat or are we not?
We can if you want. You feel pretty good about
what
it?
What are we narrowed it down to? It's Pat, you think Granado.
But I don't have a really good feeling before Granado or Cody.
I think it could be Paul.
I don't think it'd be Paul.
You don't?
No, I really don't. I really don't.
All right, so which way are we going?
I don't know. Why are you looking at your phone, though? No cheating.
Because I got an alert, and it was my front door camera. I don't like people going to my front door when I'm working.
Go with your hunch here.
One more time, BMAC. I got to hear it one more time, because this is make or break for my weekend.
Your weekend rides on this?
I always say that it influences it.
All right, one more time. And I'll be honest with you, Hollaback Girl, it's easy to sit and stare at for a while, for everything that's in that video.
I think it might be Cody. I think it's Cody or Creighton. I think I take Granado off the board.
I think it's an older guy. That's why I think I don't think it's Granado.
It sounds like you want to go Creighton.
No, I think it. When he read it again, I thought.
I mean, how many older guys are here?
Pat or Lance? Could you see Lance saying it?
I could. Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see Lance saying it.
Because Lance is sneaky about saying things about. You know,
I don't think Pat was on much this week.
Okay.
Because I think there was an Aggie basketball game, and I think that there was something else that was. I think Creighton was on like once this week, and it was Monday night.
Okay. So now we're going to eliminate Pat. Do you think?
Are you going to have to go?
Do you think it's Cody or Lance?
I have no idea. Pick whoever you think.
This sucks because I need this. Lance.
All right, there you go, Lance.
And I'll be honest with you.
Oh, well done.
Hollaback Girl is.
Yes!
It's easy to sit and stare
pretty
at
good.
For everything that's in the video.
Congratulations.
Pretty good. Look from at us going to roll. Start. We're clutch. I told you we were clutch. We're very clutch.
Oh.
Killer Bees got 3-5. Winning record. Killer Bees. All right.
Now can I look at who's at my front door?
Yeah. All right. Reports are that Denver's the favorite for Sean Payton. Feeling good about that? 713-780-ESPN. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Twitcher's thinking that you might have cheated.
That's how?
The Twitcher, because you looked at your phone. Todd says you texted.
We can look at everything
on
my phone.
You have to show
phone.
It to me. I believe you. The Twitchers don't. You can show the Twitchers your phone if you'd like.
Yeah. From a plumbing guy, Keenan McCardell, my basketball group.
He just dropped in a humble name.
Dropped a little,
yeah, look, name drop.
Let me look
at
my phone.
I wish my boy luck.
I'm
just telling you, to be honest, because I suddenly have to be worried again about Twitch.
Look at my Case Keenum, Ed Oliver. Elvin Hayes.
Friends of mine that have been ill.
Carl
checking
Lewis.
On them. My wife, because so many people were texting me, she did a great job filling in on Houston Life and wanting to pass on the sentiment. So I was texting her those compliments.
You're saying.
I'm just saying.
I'm just,
if I need to answer to the Twitch, there you go.
Poncho said Joel cheated, gave you a yellow card. Maybe it should have been a red card.
Phone gate. Well, maybe should have been a red card.
E said B-Max should mute Jeremy. E always the gentleman.
Jeremy got a little heated in that last segment.
Why? I don't know if I got heated.
You got a little heated about the question length, about getting the first couple wrong.
You think I got heated?
Oh. I'm just playing into the
bit. You got heated?
No, not really.
I walked in just from using the gentleman's room, and Cody walked in a little bit after me. He had four drinks. He brought four drinks to work today.
Four?
Is that an abnormal amount? 713-780-776.
Are they all different beverages?
You brought four drinks to work before?
All different beverages?
Yeah, depending on the length of my shift.
There was two that were the same. He said one of them was for next week, which is like...
You keep it in the fridge. That's enter at your own risk, because if you put it in the fridge, all bets are off.
I've had stuff stolen. Yeah, depending, like if like this shift, maybe I wouldn't bring four, but I have shifts that are like 6 hours, 8 hours, especially when the soda machine wasn't putting out anything cold.
I would say shifts, right?
I said shifts.
Okay, I'm just checking.
When the soda machine wasn't putting out anything cold, I might bring that many.
I think the most I've ever brought was three.
Three?
Yeah, like a coffee, a water, and then maybe like a vitamin water or something.
I was going to say, if like you go, like I could see, I finish my coffee and then I go to water, but I could have like a water and a coffee. That would be it. Like I've seen Creighton before with different flavors of soda and bring in multiple 1 liters, but I don't get it.
What's that?
Three or four drinks.
Three I could see. Four's a lot.
But you get water here. So a lot of times I finish my coffee, I rinse out the cup, and I fill it all the way up
with
water.
That's a good point.
Right?
That's a good. Maybe two is the...
Two is the max, I think.
Maybe two is the limit. A coffee and a water. Yeah, four seemed abnormal. Four seemed pretty high. All right, reports are out there that Denver is the favorite for Sean Payton. This excites me because I ultimately do not want Sean Payton to be a member of the Houston Texans. I don't want to pay the price for Sean Payton. I love that they're interviewing him. I love that the Texans are being taken seriously. I love the Texans are being serious, but ultimately don't want to pay the price of a first-rounder for a guy who quit on his team, is only going to get older, who says he's not going to do that again with the Houston Texans. The concern's there for me. There's also some evidence pointing to the fact that maybe Sean Payton wants to work with Russell Wilson. I saw Randy Mueller, our guy on Twitter, was on with the Wheelhouse yesterday. Go check out that interview, ESPN975.com. He talked about how Russell Wilson had a no-trade clause in his Seattle contract, but one of the teams that he would have been willing to get traded to was New Orleans, and the idea was because he wanted to work with Sean Payton. He respected Sean Payton so much, liked Sean Payton so much, that he would have wanted to work with Sean Payton. This story's reminding all of us that Sean Payton made an appearance on Colin Cowherd's show in October, so not that long ago. We're looking at 3-4 months ago, and talked about Russell Wilson and some of the struggles. And he basically talked about how he might fix Russell Wilson if he ever worked with Russell Wilson. Says you correct flaws immediately, and then when we don't worry about how long the process is going to take. In other words, I'd want a cut up today of all of Russell's pass plays of 30 or more yards from the field, and I'd want to see are there some schemes that he felt comfortable with, blah, 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 blah. I know that he did a great job in Seattle of bringing him off a naked boot and then pulling up, blah, 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 blah. A lot of very football-specific conversations. But it seems... Russell Wilson, a high admiration for Sean Payton, and it seems like Sean Payton apparently has a high admiration for Russell Wilson, and it's trending to where he's going to be the next head coach of the Denver Broncos.
I'm with you. Look, like, go ahead, good. I still want to talk to him before he takes it, just so you can get whatever intel you can get out of him. But I did mention that to you when we heard that that was the first team to reach out to Sean Payton, and some people chuckled at it, but the fact is that it just makes sense that if you're looking for a guy that, one, Russell can respect, but two, has been there and done that with a less-than-tall quarterback and found a way to make it work. Obviously, I don't think Russ throws the ball the way Drew does, but I think everybody's raved about his deep ball over the years, and he doesn't run the way he used to run. But if you can still get a lot of the best traits out of Russell Wilson, Peyton's probably the guy to do it because he's had to kind of adapt to that kind of quarterback previously, as opposed to a young quarterback getting his first coaching opportunity and saying, man, now I got to deal with a guy that thinks he knows more than me, that also isn't quite the quarterback he once was, but has so much to prove that he's going to do whatever he's going to do anyway. So it makes a ton of sense. I don't know where Denver's going to get the draft capital to come up with the package that gets the deal done.
They have a first rounder. They have a first rounder.
This year?
Yeah, they have a first rounder from San Francisco.
Oh, the San Francisco in the late Chubb first? Trade. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then maybe that they get it done, but I'm with you. I think it makes a lot of sense for them because obviously a first-year coach like Nathaniel Hackett was just a disaster.
See, I put more of Denver's struggles. And look, I'm not. We've kind of been anti-Russell Wilson on this show, more so than most people, especially last year. Has he been anti-Russell?
Paul has never been a Russell Wilson.
But I think that's a lot more like personality and as a person, as opposed to on the field.
I think it's both, but
maybe, and it's easy to do that this year because he wasn't good this year in Denver. If I look at Denver's struggles this year, I put it more on Hackett than Russell Wilson, and I've not been a huge Russell Wilson guy the last couple of years. So I don't think that Denver situation is as dire as others think. I think you can go in there and make that because they have a really good defense.
Yes.
I think if you get an offensive mind from Peyton, and I don't think Russell Wilson's ever going to be peak Russell Wilson again. He's far too old for that. But I do think that you can get him playing to a good level again. And if Russell Wilson plays at a good level, they have some decent weapons there. Javonte Williams is going to come back next year. The receivers there I like. I think they're pretty good. I think you can get Denver to a winning team. I really do.
No, I think that they're not starting from rock bottom like the Texans are. I do think that they – look, we had said until they started trading away some of their most valuable assets that there was a team that was a quarterback away from maybe competing for a Super Bowl, but definitely being a playoff team. So if you can write Russell Wilson – and the running game's a big question mark because you got a guy coming off a major leg injury, but he was good before he got hurt. If he can come back and be good again, or you can give him another compliment so that there are two guys in the backfield that take some of the heat off of Russ, you're right. The receiving core is good. The offensive line is decent. I think that because of their defense too, they could be a playoff team, but I think you need a respected veteran coach that Russ is going to listen to that can also intervene when Russ gets to be too Russy around his teammates. And can do all the things that Nathaniel Hackett wasn't capable of doing and call a better game. So I think it's a great fit if they can work out the details. And I think that it's the best case for everyone's scenario, including the Texans, because like you, I don't want Sean Payton to be the coach of this team.
There's a thought out there. Apparently, Ari Mirov or whatever, he had some quotes from Mickey Loomis today, the general manager of the Saints, confirmed that Dennis Allen will be back as the head coach next year for the Saints. But he also said that any team wanting Sean Payton must first agree to compensation on a trade before entering negotiations with him. Teams have an understanding of parameters of a potential trade. Houston, Arizona, and Denver have received permission to speak to him. So what that tells me is that the Texans have, like, they haven't agreed to a trade because they still have to offer the job for Sean Payton, and Sean Payton still has to say he wants the Houston Texans. But the Texans at least told the Saints that they would be willing to part with whatever the parameters of what Mickey Loomis is looking for to be, you know, a head coach, potential head coach. I should say potential head coach.
Is this a page out of Nick Caserio's book, though?
Well, it's not him that's drawing it up.
But I'm saying, I think that you could say that, hey, general managers took note of how he handled the Watson situation with the no trade and can correlate this into the structuring of the same kind of negotiations to a deal like a Sean Payton still being under contract. And I think kudos to them. Kudos to Nick for being able to do. And, you know, I've given him a lot of kudos for that.
Yeah.
I think that's if you can get it done, that's great. I just think that each team is going to be so different in terms of where their picks are that they could possibly offer. It's not going to be as easy as
But the Saints aren't making the decision. The Saints aren't picking which team is going to be the one trade Payton. Exactly. The difference between Deshaun and the Payton thing is, though, is that the Texans can sit there and tell Mickey Loomis, yeah, we're willing to give whatever your draft pick compensation is for Sean Payton, but then you can also just not offer him the job. So it's kind of an empty promise. Yeah, we'll do this if we want to hire Sean Payton, but it doesn't mean that you're going to actually do it. You could just be like, yeah, we're not going to hire Sean Payton. Plus, we'd rather go with Benny Johnson.
What I mentioned yesterday, too, is you got to believe if Payton's going to be passionate about wherever he goes.
Oh, I think he will be.
He doesn't want his team giving up too much that he could possibly turn into resources that he could use in any kind of deal. It might be, you know, picks down the line years from now when he's really established. But especially to get off on the right foot, he doesn't want to give up too much this year.
All right, playoffs coming up tomorrow in the NFL. Let's go on record with our Super Bowl picks. And also, what would be the most entertaining Super Bowl? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN
92.5. Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Some reports out there about D'Amico Ryans as well. Aaron Wilson, who reported originally a few days ago that he's not interested in the Houston Texans job. Not Aaron Wilson, D'Amico Ryans. Aaron Wilson has kind of recanted that. He's kind of walked that back. He is now saying that D'Amico Ryans is interested in interviewing for that job. So remember we... Nick Caserio talked the other day on the Highway to Hell with PP, and he mentioned the fact that there are some reports out there that some guys are not interested in this position that are not true. There was some thought that maybe he was referring to Sean Payton, although no one was really saying there was no interest there. There was just no one reporting that there was interest there. It does indeed look like that was D'Amico Ryans. So it looks like D'Amico Ryans will be interviewing for the job. I listened to D'Amico Ryans' press conference yesterday, talking to the media ahead of San Francisco's wild card game against Seattle. And he said, look, right now the focus is all on San Francisco. Was asked about interview questions, and he said, the interviews will take care of themselves. The interviews will take care of themselves. I think they ultimately will, obviously. Mm-hmm. But it does look like the Texans will get a crack at chatting it up with their former linebacker.
And you know what? It's smart on both sides. It's smart because it's a hot up-and-coming name that, again, whether you choose to go that direction with a defensive-minded head coach, he's a young up-and-coming name. It's a name that has had meaning to your fan base as a player. It makes too much sense not to at least talk to him. And from D'Amico Ryan's perspective, there might be jobs that you earmark and say are your top priority, it's the one you want. But because you haven't had that many chances to interview, it's in your best interest to get as many interviews under your belt too, and probably structure it so that the one that you really want, you do a little bit later in the process so that you can already know what to expect in terms of the kinds of questions, the way the whole process is going to play out, who's going to be involved, how to kind of play up to, who you need to play up to in each situation. So I think it's smart on both sides. I like the fact that he didn't say no, because we saw people say no to the Texans previously. And I like the fact, from a Texans perspective, you're going out and starting to actually meet with your guys. You identified who they are, and they're willing to go along with it and talk to you too.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what happens with the coaching search. But D'Amico Ryans does appear he will be interviewing with the Texans. We'll see if it does come to fruition. Josh in Beaumont says, should the Texans see if Lincoln Riley has any interest? I wouldn't be interested in Lincoln Riley. I think the fact that you fired Lovie Smith this year takes you out of the Lincoln Riley sweepstakes. The only way that I would have hired Lincoln Riley is if he's a package deal with Caleb Williams, but you can't fire another head coach. Like, this is going to be the head coach you're hitching your wagon to for the next few years.
Your wiggle room is gone.
And Cal mentioned that earlier in his, fumbling through words for 45 minutes. This is the most attractive position out there because you can't be fired in a year.
Nick is a smart guy. This is a smart franchise. And this go round, we're going to get it right. Try to remember that instead of trying to forget how many times we've screwed up.
Your Cal McNair sounds oddly like Stuart Smalley. If you remember the old SNL bit, the good enough, smart enough.
Yeah. I'm good enough. And gosh darn it, I don't know. But here's
the thing.
I think it's
pretty good.
Every time I hear him, Nick is a smart guy. Nick is a valuable guy, and his talent evaluation is top notch. So remember that next time you want to bitch about our organization and my burgers being underdone in the middle.
He's an elite talent evaluator.
That too.
That's what he says.
Yeah.
He says look, Kassir is an elite talent evaluator.
I want to believe they're going to handle everything the right way. I truly believe. And Randy McAvoy had a tweet earlier that gave me another indication. They are getting help across the entire organization on a complete reset. You may not have fired Caserio, but from an imaging perspective, they are trying to do a complete 180 reset in terms of how they handle everything. The image of the owner, the image of the franchise, the way that they're handling this coaching search, not waiting 4 days to announce it, and then announcing immediately the top names that everybody wants you to go after, and you're going to meet with them as soon as possible, and now you're meeting with them, completely different from what we've seen previously. So I like it. I hope they stick with it, and I hope they reap the benefit of it, because they didn't do it right the last couple times in the last couple years when they've tried to do anything.
It's good to have a brand ambassador, somebody that's keeping track of your image, although I would say that Cal shouldn't be doing a whole lot of public speaking if you're worried about the image of your organization.
More Hannah, less Cal.
Yeah, I'm good with that. She should be the press secretary of the Houston Texans. The speaker of the franchise.
Well, let me, because I thought about this earlier, but now it even makes more sense, except for the fact we're not talking about siblings. We're talking just about husband and wife. But this is like after Dr. Buss created everything, the imaging and the success of the Lakers. Mm-hmm. Johnny was a bumbling idiot that wanted Johnny Buss, but he wanted to run basketball. And he didn't know what the hell he was doing, so they let Jerry West and Mitch Kupchak eventually. But Jeannie wanted involvement too. And Jeannie became the president of the Lakers, and she still is. And she's damn good at the business side of everything and the way she runs the franchise. So if this is Hannah being able to take over for Cal and say, it's a team situation, we're both involved. But at the end of the day, if she's the smarter, brighter light in the room, and she is the one that ends up making the decision, I'm all for it.
Yeah, let her be the speaker of the organization. Well, we said, no problem with that.
Everybody said, can we get a new owner? That ain't happening. If this is the next best thing, if this is the solution that is the best case scenario, then let Hannah reign.
With you. 713-780-ESPN. Some NFL news. Sean McVay is coming back. Ian Rappaport, Mike Garofalo, they are reporting that Sean McVay intends to return as the Rams head coach. So there's another job that is not coming open. So he's going to be back, Sean McVay.
That affects Sean Payton more than anybody else. Because I think that was another sleeper situation where he could jump right in and win and knows that there's enough veteran talent. If you got an Aaron Donald on defense, Matt Stafford's coming back, you can find a running back a lot of different ways, but you've got a ton of money invested in defensive backs and receivers too. You could make that work next year.
They could. I think there's two jobs that could potentially come open that are not open right now that Sean Payton would be an option for.
Chargers.
Chargers is one.
Okay. I don't know.
Dallas.
Oh, yeah, right. And that was Dallas. The logical. That was the overly logical one for Payton when he decided he wanted to coach again.
I think both are probably long shots, and I would say the Chargers are a better shot than Dallas.
Dallas loses Monday night, and it's not a long shot.
We know that Jerry Jones loves him from Sean Payton.
Yes,
and he loves making some splashes, although he does like control, too. And he might not want to relinquish a whole lot of control because Sean Payton would want a good amount of control.
I think that there's no doubt that if they get blasted Monday night, Jerry Jones loves winning more than anything else, as much as Jerry loves some Jerry
does
and everything
he does.
Oh, God. Yes.
I don't know. I don't know if Jerry Jones loves winning more than he loves ultimate power.
But let me tell you, well, because he's got the ultimate power, he can make a change whenever he feels like it. And if he, you know, he loves the fact that winning is great and it also builds the brand and he sells more of everything. But on top of that, he also knows how many kicks in the you know where's he's been taken because they haven't won in so long. So if he got, and he got worked by Zeke, and it looks like he kind of got worked by Dak and overpaid. If he wants to try and salvage everything, winning starts to matter a whole lot more when you haven't done it in quite a while and you get bounced in the first round again this year. That's where he realizes, as much as I've spent on my team, I need to spend on a coach that can possibly get me where I haven't been in a long, long time.
And if he loves Sean Payton this much, I mean, Jerry's in his 80s. Sean Payton's probably going to be in this next coaching job, you would think, at least 4 or 5 years. This might be the last chance he has to hire Sean Payton.
I would agree with that. If he's ever going to have hire Payton, this would be the last chance. 8755, crush me if you want. I would possibly still start Mills or another quarterback to protect the quarterback coming in.
Depends on what your line looks like.
No, it doesn't depend on what your line looks like. I'm not starting Mills under any circumstances.
Oh, not Davis Mills. I'm saying we talked about this. You could get another bridge quarterback. It doesn't have to be. I think Davis Mills, unless he is okay with being a backup, I think Davis Mills' days with the Houston Texans as a starter is over. But I think, again, if you don't feel like it's the right situation and you invest all of this future, all your future aspirations in a guy like, whoever you draft and acquire, and you need one more year, I could see you getting a veteran to bridge it for one more year. I don't think it's Davis Mills, but I don't think it's unheard of to think that if you don't think your line is going to be right and you feel like he might take a beating this first year, you might buy him a pass.
Who is your Super Bowl pick?
I said all along, and I'm sticking with it because they're both still in it. I said Kansas City in the AFC. I said San Francisco in the NFC. And I think Kansas City inevitably wins. And everything is hinged now on Purdy as opposed to other guys. But the way their defense has played and with as suspect as the NFC is, I stick with it. I think it's a Kansas City-San Francisco Super Bowl, and I think that San Francisco loses to Kansas City in the bowl.
I'm going
to
go with an outside-the-box team in the NFC. I think in the NFC, I think
you've been on
team,
the Seahawks for a long time.
Come on. I think any team in the NFC could win the NFC with the exception of the Giants and Seattle. I think anybody else could potentially make a run and win the NFC because I don't think there's a dominant NFC team. I know the Eagles are the top seed. They had the best overall record, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I think Minnesota Vikings. I think the Vikings make the run through the NFC. They go to the Super Bowl.
All you Twitchers and texters, bet Jeremy right now.
The Kirk Cousins haters are all silenced by prime time Kirk Cousins going all the way to the Super Bowl.
Who'd you bet on Twitch? King of Twitch and who else?
Dick Willie and Todd the Show.
All three of you guys should double down and make a bet right now.
I mean, I'm very selective on my bets. Part of the reason I'm undefeated. Kansas City is my pick from the AFC, though. NFL on CBS ranked the top four most exciting matchups, potential matchups. The top top-ranked matchup in terms of excitement.
Chiefs-Bills.
No, well, that's not a Super Bowl option.
Oh, Super Bowl. I thought you just said in the playoffs.
No. The 14 potential Super Bowl matchups. Their top one actually was Buffalo-Philadelphia. Philadelphia had the top two. Mm. Buffalo-Philadelphia 1, Kansas City-Philadelphia 2. Do you think Philadelphia would be more exciting than San Francisco?
I don't.
I do locally because of Jalen Hurts.
Sure, of course.
But nationally, I think it'd be San Fran.
Yeah, I think with the way their defense has been lights out and literally just putting up zeros and shutting people down and then take the high power of either Buffalo or Kansas City, that's, you know, a Goliath matchup with two big, strong, you know, forces coming to meet. Everybody would love to see that.
Dallas,
I
national
think
brand.
The national media would love to see Kansas City against Philadelphia to play up that Andy Reid storyline.
Yeah,
that would be a great storyline for 2 weeks.
Yeah, that would. I think KC Philadelphia would be a little bit more exciting than Philly and Buffalo.
I still think there's a lot of people that aren't believers yet in Philly.
Well, they're talking about most exciting matchups,
right? But that's why it's kind of perplexing to me that Philly would be in the top two. I guess they're.
I think it's because of their offense, and it'd be an exciting game.
And I'm worried about the health of Jalen Hurts. Mm. It's either rookie quarterback or dinged up quarterback, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, we made the we had the game that we played at the beginning of the season, where it was basically name the Texans will be this good game, where we had a bidding game. How far are we willing to go with the Texans scoring defense, scoring offense, passing offense, rushing offense in their draft slot? Let's see who won that game. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
All teams covered, no talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, we played a game at the beginning of the year, basically kind of like a name the tune, name that tune game, where I can name the tune in three beats, whatever the, you know, whatever
three notes.
Yeah, three notes. That's what it was. That's the word I was looking for. So we had five different statistical categories where we were willing to go so far to see how good the Houston Texans were going to be. We did it with like scoring offense, passing offense, where they're at in the draft. I've intentionally not looked at the results.
Okay, good. I thought you knew and you were keeping it from me, which scares me.
Intentionally, I mean, I don't know. I have not looked at the results of this so far. So we're going to go through all of these. There's five different categories. Of course, whoever wins the best of five series owes the other one lunch. So we'll start with scoring defense. I won all of these, by the way. I guess I'm the homer of the group where I was willing to go higher than you. And of course, we would start it. Oh, they'll be top 31. Mm-hmm. No, I think they'll be top 30. No, I think they'll be top 29. Okay, you have to go with that. Scoring defense was our first category. I was willing to go all the way up to number 23 in scoring defense for the Houston Texans. I lost that. The Houston Texans were 27th in scoring defense. They gave up just over 24.5 points per game. Not very good. They actually were okay at it for a while, where they weren't giving up tons of points. But they ended up finishing outside of the range that I was willing to.
How many total did we have?
Five. We had scoring offense, scoring defense, passing offense, rushing offense.
I feel like I'm playing Who Said It all over again. I'm just trying to get the quota. I need three.
So you won the first one. Blank won the first one with scoring defense. They did not finish in the top 23 like I was willing to go. The second one that we went to was scoring offense. And again, me being the homer of the group, I had the Texans going all the way to a top 25 scoring offense. That's where we ended. The Texans tied for 30th in scoring offense with the Colts, 17
points. Breathing a little easier. I still think you wouldn't have done this if you'd won.
I have no idea. I have no idea how it goes. Okay. I really don't. The next one is passing offense. I was willing to go all the way to top 27 in passing offense. The Texans finished top 27 in passing offense. They finished 25th. They finished 25th in passing offense with just under 197 yards per game, which isn't great, but they finished just above the top 27.
Dang you, Davis Mills.
Rushing offense was top 28.
I'm done there.
No, you won that one. The Texans were 30th in rushing.
So I won.
31st in rushing offense.
I won
three. They had 87 yards per game. They were the second to worst rushing offense in the league. Yeah, the only team that the Texans had a better rushing offense with than was Tampa Bay.
That's surprising.
Well, I mean, we talked about that throughout the year.
They shut down Pierce at a certain point.
And they were only Pierce. Pierce had some good games.
Yeah.
But overall, the Texans' running attack was putrid. Like, it was bad. It was the second worst in the NFL. Like, it really wasn't very good. They had Pierce. They had nothing else. And Pierce, outside of, two, three, four games, really didn't do a whole lot.
Well, yeah. And in a lot of other offenses, you're getting, like you said, rushing from a lot of different areas. Quarterback and multiple running backs. It was Pierce or bust. So, yeah, I guess after first glance,
and even Pierce had some 8 carries for 9 yards type of games.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think the bigger thing, too, was that they shut him down. Because he was your only
hope. I don't think they would have finished. I really don't. I don't think they would have finished top 28 even if Pierce continued to play. They only missed, 4 games? 5 games? 4 games?
4 or 5.
He only missed 4 games, and Pierce was trending down. Like, if you look at Pierce's season, by the time that he got hurt, BMAC said, he had a lot of games that were not very good. He had an 8-carry, 9-yard game. Let's see Pierce in his final game. He had 22 carries, 78 yards in his final game, which is solid. Fair. But if that's all you're getting, that's below the worst average in the league. 18 for 73, 5 for 8, 10 for 8. He had back-to-back weeks where he combined for 15 carries and 16 yards.
Yeah.
And that's not a Pierce thing. That's not Damian Pierce thing.
I just can't tell you how ecstatic I am that at least I didn't lose the bet.
I did win the fifth category. I said that they would pick fifth or lower. I don't know how I got fifth or lower. But I won.
Yeah,
that.
I don't either.
You beat me 3-2. You beat me 3-2. So I'll bring you lunch. You want the lunch next week?
Well, there's no hurry in it. I know where you work. We'll get there.
A few little Frankies for lunch. Sound good to you?
Nice. Well played.
That doesn't sound good to you?
Isn't it that I get to pick?
Yeah, you get to pick lunch. Okay. So we'll take care of it. I owe you lunch. That one's on me. I think Brendan's going to owe us lunch for the other
game. I was going to say, Brendan's going to have to send us some Lou Malnato's or
are we allowed to say that yet?
What do you mean?
What's Luminato's?
Luminato's. It's like the Luminata.
I've never heard of that.
Oh, it's a different kind of restaurant.
Anyways, so you won. I owe you lunch. That's fine. That's great. The Pro Bowl has released, because Pro Bowl is not playing a football game this year.
What's the place out in the Woodlands?
The place in the Woodlands?
Yeah, isn't there a pizza place in the Woodlands?
There was
supposed to be highly regarded.
From a certain city?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they closed down.
Oh, already?
And it wasn't one of the top ones either.
Oh, okay.
I forgot what it was called. Do you know, BMAC?
Wasn't there one in Midtown?
Wasn't it in Geno's?
Yeah, it was.
That's the sub place in Philly.
I think it was Geno's.
No, it was because there was one in Midtown, too, that might still be open that was on West Gray, right by Montrose. I think it was the same.
No, it was Geno's. It was Geno's East.
Really?
Yeah, it was Geno's East.
I thought Geno's East was the cheesesteak place.
No, in Philly.
That's Geno's with an E.
Yeah.
And in Philadelphia, this is Geno's East with an I.
Yeah, I've driven by it on 45. Yeah. There is one in the Woodlands.
Yeah, that's one that
I was thinking.
That's the one
you're.
I don't think so. I think that's the one you were thinking of.
No, I thought it was more of an Italian name, but all right.
That's the one specifically from that town you're talking about, which. I mean,
Philly. Yeah, go ahead.
We've given it away. Anyways, the Pro Bowl is not playing a Pro Bowl this year. They're not playing a football
flag
game.
Football.
They're doing it, and they're also having a lot of different competitions,
which could be fun.
They're having a lot of different games. The games: dodgeball, precision passing, long drive of a golf ball.
Ooh,
which is kind of interesting.
That's going to be a lot of people involved in that.
Like, if it says longest drive, do you need to say of a golf ball? Couldn't you say longest drive competition?
Someone might think
you're punting or something.
Or someone be getting
drive?
Their car.
I know. But someone might confuse that.
I think
some people get
in
the car and go down I-5. Or
get out of here. That's not, I don't know. That's redundant. Best catch, similar to a dunk contest. They've done this in the past where, like, they run up to a mat and they do all
this
kind of
accurate.
It's kind of cool.
Still that sounds like hurt. It's waiting for someone to tear their ACL.
You can still get someone hurt.
Could be. Gridiron gauntlet race.
What?
Which I'm not exactly sure what that's going to look like, but a gridiron gauntlet race. A kick tic-tac-toe. Move the chains, a weighted wall pull, which I guess is probably like a strongman competition, and then a three-part lightning round, which I really don't know what a lot of these are.
They're going to have a trivia contest? What's that about?
That might be kind of cool. I don't know.
Can I give you suggestions not included in what you just told me?
Of course.
One, punt, pass, and kick competition like when we were kids, Because even at the best quarterback, can you kick or punt the football, and can you do it with accuracy? Because that could cost you. And you could see the multi-talents of an NFL player without them getting hurt with a punt, pass, and kick. And the other one would be like the Superstars competition that I think everybody used to watch and thought it was cool when you got the best of athletes and entertainers that were trying to do like obstacle courses and things where, you know, you could have team competitions. They could bag the whole game. Because flag football to me is even less interesting than the games where they were basically playing flag football in pads. But just do the competitions because there's no right way to do this.
No, I like the competitions, actually.
Yeah, do the competitions. Do bowling. I don't care. But don't do football and don't do flag football because no one's going to care.
I don't want the flag football at all. I just want a series of competitions. Like, these series of competitions look cool. I like your punt, pass, kick, or whatever it's called. I would like to see the quarterbacks just see who can throw it the furthest.
Do you remember Andy Reid's punt, pass,
and
kick?
Oh, yeah.
He looked like he was like a man amongst boys stuffed into a helmet.
Yeah. He looked like he was 21 in fourth grade.
Yes.
The question that I have with all of these skill competitions, is there a show on our station that beats us in a single one of these?
I think Paul would tell you he will because he played high school football.
Okay, but Paul's a show of one. Does any show beat us at dodgeball?
No.
I don't think so. I think that we would run the table in dodgeball. How about precision passing?
No.
Yeah, I don't think anybody beat us there either.
No, I agree.
Longest drive of a golf ball?
That's a
Granado, maybe? He plays a lot of golf.
Longest.
Yeah, but the longest. Granado would beat us on the golf course.
Well, give me a little time to get back into it.
Right now, he'd smoke
you. Probably.
He would smoke you. He'd smoke me, too. Right. But would he hit the golf?
He plays every day.
Would he hit the ball further?
No.
I don't think so. I think we'd both take him there.
I agree.
I think we'd both take him there. Best catch? That's one where Paul might have a chance, because now he doesn't have a team.
Yep.
I don't know if you heard, Paul he played high school football.
There. Paul might have a chance there.
Paul did also play high school football.
I don't know what gridiron gauntlet race is. I don't know what kick tic-tac-toe is, although I'm a great tic-tac-toe player. I haven't lost since I was 8 years old.
I've been skunking my daughter lately, and she doesn't understand that there is actually a thought process behind winning.
Put all these skill competitions together, the Killer Bees has a very good showing.
Plus, look at the comeback we put up on the board today, and who said it?
A lot of people are saying Grimaldi's.
That's
not it, though.
But that's the one I was thinking about.
But it's from Brooklyn. It's a New York pizza.
That's the name I was thinking
of. The pizza from that location that you're talking about is Geno's.
Okay.
It's Geno's East. All right, it's going to do it for us. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks to BMAC for doing all the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Brandon. We'll talk to you on Monday, Houston. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.